ください。そして海外旅行でございます。
I was having a dream in which very textural, actually. Here, wait, we're going to start again. Hold on.
Man. Do have.
Well, the reason that you like these pastoral views so much is not because they're especially, like, relaxing. They remind you of how incredibly hectic and frenetic and, like, demanding.
I sit at my desk.
And it reminds you your whole life is work.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the September 2024 edition of Poet Radio. My name is Chris Funkhauser, host of this program on WGXC since 2015. I'm delighted this month to have, finally, Abigail Child on the program. I've known Abby a good number of years now. We've been at some digital media festivals together during the past couple decades, and our critical books were both published in Alabama's Modern and Contemporary Poetic series. We both have residences in Statsburg, and here we are at the Quadrangle. Wikipedia's first sentence on Abby tells us she's, quote, an American filmmaker, poet, and writer who has been active in experimental writing and media since the 1970s, unquote. I'll say. Her films are culturally observant and wild, with so many great rapid cuts, supreme examples of collaged imagery and sound. In fact, you just heard an audio extract from the film Surface Noise at the top of the show. Among many accolades, she has received a Guggenheim Fellowship in Film. She received the Rome Prize as well. She's published 5 books of poetry. We'll be hearing her read on the program today and hearing more of her soundtrack collages as the program progresses. Abby, what else do we need to tell people about you?
I don't know, but thanks, Chris, for the opportunity to do this recording. I guess what I was struck by in Surface Noise was that's Carla Harriman and Steve Benson talking, but I think the more sort of interesting thing about Surface Noise is it was made from outtakes that were about to be thrown out by a found footage archive, the famous Rick Prelinger archive. So I said, okay, this is the outs of the outs, and including the soundtrack, including Carla and Steve, they were outs from previous films from the decade or 2 decades that I'd recorded before in San Francisco. The new material was I brought in musicians that I hadn't worked with for another decade, Christian Marclay, Zena Parkins, Shelley Hirsch, and I think it's I forget the drummer, because I kept switching drummers. But I had already done an edit, and they came in and worked with me in the mixing room. But I think the point is, there's a line in the poetry that I'll read later where I talk about that words are not abstract, they're deterritorialized. In other words, placed in new contexts. And of course, surface noise is a perfect example of that. I think I do that with both images and words, that I'm interested in breaking them apart, recreating new forms, new edifices, if you will, even if they're shattered edifices, to sort of make the audience, make myself discover new places in language and film.
It sounds so cool too, right? And we can see these as being poetic. There's language, and there's also a lot more too. I mean, maybe not, it's not like as shaped and sculpted as a poem would be, but still very poetic.
You mean the soundtracks?
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
The films too.
Yeah. Exactly. I think in that sense, poetry is sort of the sense of how to build something new that the audience can't just drink like normal, but have to think. And I think that's always been my aim.
Well, that's a good aim too. The more thought, the better.
We need more of it, right?
At this point in time. But there's that line that comes in towards the end, like all your life is work, kind of stings. You know, it kind of takes the fun, you know, it pulls it back in.
Well, into the real life. And he's responding why we love these pastoral, you know, scenes so much. And in the film, you're seeing pastoral scenes. And of course, it's so easy to fall into the delight of the world. The world is exquisite and exciting and something we should love. And yet we have to pull back a little bit from any, and I try not to make my work nostalgic, pull back from a kind of nostalgia sinking in to think not just work, but about the life and what's deciding it, you know, which is a larger cultural shape form. And that's what I was realizing reading over some work to read today, that's in the work is this, and how do you do it? You know, how do you go to the street and also make that poetic, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, it must involve a lot of listening and a lot of reviewing what you see in front of you, whether it's footage or the world or something.
Absolutely. Although sometimes I think, and this is a thing people talk about, is it's sometimes easier to cut up found material than perhaps your own material because you're so close to your own material. Mm. You've spent all day catching that sunset. How can you drop it from the film entire? And the same way with poetry sometimes, I think. And I'll read a few from that, but for years I had read Tamil poetry, and they have war cycles and love cycles. And I could not, 20 years ago, understand quite what a war cycle would be, since I didn't go to war, most of my family didn't go to war. And then during this era of the last decade, the war cycle became completely apparent in terms of, and I realized my poetry, which previously had been, you know, what I wrote in the last 2 years would become a book. I realized I had all this material that I could separate into love poetry and war poetry in a way. And so I began to separate it. And the love poetry has been collected to some extent in Mouth to Mouth. And the war poetry hasn't been collected yet. At one point, I sent it into a publisher, and she said it was so harsh, she couldn't read it. Wow. And I took that, I was hurt, of course, but I felt it was a compliment. Because in a way, and it's the way I feel about film too, and I know film influences people, and you feel it deeply, as one does words, but nothing could be as harsh as the real world. And so I think, you know, the idea that you can't even look at something that is maybe discussing the Holocaust or Gaza, I think is perhaps a failure on the part of the reader. And sometimes I find I'm surprised that, like when I had a film retrospective, that my work had a lot of violence in it.
Yeah, well,
and I had not expected that, actually.
It does, the films and the accompanying soundtracks, they really do capture the crazy world that we're in. You know, it's it's not that in your face with, you know, guns and blood and stuff, but still, the points are made, I think, pretty poetically. For one thing, there's so many rapid cuts, and you have to see these things as cause and effect, or there's a relationship between one scene and the next scene. Yeah. But the interesting thing, the soundtrack that we just played, well, the musicians are phenomenal. I mean, Mark Lay, you know, Xena, these are major figures in downtown and internationally too. And I noticed that you or someone described that as that it was woven into a sonata form.
Oh, yes.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is actually, it's based on a sonata form. I actually, when you don't have a plot, you have to find other structures. And rhythm, of course, is the structure we use as poets and I use as a filmmaker, which I guess is the poetic aspect of my films in part. But in this case, I was at a art colony and there was a composer who I had him delineate a sonata form. So I took that form, and you don't know it when you're looking at the work, but I think the work holds together in part because that form is under it. And it might have been as simple as saying, okay, red is the A theme and the B theme is blue, or that wasn't it, but something like that. And then I could look at images and pull that together and do that intercut. And then if I ran out of blue, I could feed in something else. And so it gave me both a freedom, but it also gave me a structure on which to base the work.
That's really interesting. I get it too. And even thinking back to, I watched Surface Noise a couple of nights ago. And there are certain sections of the film that are repeated, Peter, similar imagery. It's sort of at the beginning, sort of here and there.
Yeah.
So that helps us create, or helps you create this kind of structure, I guess.
Yes, definitely.
Because I didn't realize it was color-based.
Well, it's sometimes color-based. I think in this case it was color-based or content-based. Of course, I do repeat, I think there's a eye and there's a TV screen. And because those are so close to me, I played with them. I mean, they were also very beautiful images.
Totally. So I might as well ask before we get to your reading, where the answer will probably become very clear. As a writer, how important are using collage techniques?
Somebody asked me I've written about the relationship between my image work and my film and my poetry, my writing work. And in some ways, I had made a connection at one point between word, sentence, paragraph, or even syllable, word, sentence, paragraph, to frame, shot, scene. So there's those kind of connections, but I think there's also the connection of linearity, maybe, that although I think film is even more, when you watch it, it's more linear even than a book, because a book I used to, as a kid, always go to the end. I was always disrupting the order. But the linearity, they're in a way, they're time arts. So there's that connection too. So when you talk about montage, we started talking about that the word and the image can be deterritorialized. In other words, it can be open to new contexts. I have always treated the image that way. In fact, one of the poems I'm going to read today, I'm going to read backwards. I'm going to read the pages backwards because it works just as well. Differently, cool. But I think just as well. So that idea of mobility frames is really big for me. And of course, montage techniques are a little bit different in film. Eisenstein montage is, directional within the frame, and that's different than poetry that you can do. But on the page, there's ways you can, you can be in lines, you can be words all over the page, you can be in couplets, you can be in triplets. So those kinds of relationships, and in a way, poetry has always had a kind of montage technique, if you will, pantoums, when you think, you know, A, B, A, B, and then B, C, B, C, and this kind of slippage that they're doing with steady rhymes. When I play with it, I'm a little more open. But I do like a structure underneath the poems. They're not always there. Sometimes I'll do work based on looking at something, you know, talking about an image or several images, trying to get under the image through words. So they're different meats, but there's the combinational quality of both. So I think that's where they, for me, connect the most.
That's cool. This program has no trouble with non-linearity, reverse linearity, whatever you want to do is fine.
I'll leave that to you as the editor.
Well, no, I think, you know, the conversation, I mean, I'm not going to cut and paste this thing together, but in terms of the work itself, I mean, we've had such a wide variety of poets on here, and some are much more conventional and almost simple, and other people are complex and impenetrable. So have at. So I think maybe what we'll do now, after all this buildup, is if you will read for a few minutes, and we'll come back and maybe talk a little bit more about connections between the visual and the written.
Okay. What I'll do first is, because it's kind of an introduction to my work, I'll read from three earlier works, and then we can stop and do it. So this is almost a little bit of a sound poem from Solids, and it's just a paragraph from a longer poem. You go up, a butt counter zap on the while turning, turn shock until in and do want procedure. Ideas repeat distinctly at it is Pational. Immerse the degree. Even one time will disconnect. They, you, who were, who does, who struck very much, doubly. Voodoo don't do it. Pockets on okay. Item fell says buys. The with could cold. They are came met. And girls, so they month for look and study mountain parts to after PT. Tea, her passel, her hours, for zebra repeat, and a soft flesh foreground shock itself. And then a blueprint for a scenario. We cannot move. We cannot control the pacing or mind of this movie. The last echo attached to the image intensifies the tension, is an erotic heartbeat. That ends. The first shot is the sky, and a couple that is sound that was. This causes words that the plot is, the presence of a sequence in relation to one. The film could take place over 2 years or 2 days. At certain points, cars and machines and people take advantage of this, and therefore you see red after blue after white, and the color adds to the bugle beauty. The girls in head come to exercise speed. In this, the edits number a boat. That starts and ends. The first shot is the sky. We hear voices and different differences of voices, but the sound that is sound that was taken from another and laid over this. The sound causes the first confusion. Understand the film. What you see, you are hearing, is a montage of shots. There's the presence of a sequence or 2 days. In one, they have these cars and machines and people is not, isn't plot, is not hot, but a dock bed struggle in the autumn orbit warp. Light for us pertaining desire's tool. Then directly loops phosphorescent vising torque. The immediate tape sucks school's information. Two material discords. That I sub first the sky, and over this the sound you see, you are hearing words of shots, and an idea of ideas of a sequence in relation to an insert. It has these austere moanings at certain points of cars and machines and people's voices like confusion, but it is not. There is the color of this awareness together, and therefore blue after white, and the color adds up to a red high school Chrysler. Representation, the sign of a doable job. The opposite prerequisite comedy. The character walks in to keep the film moving. Lovers close their eyes before they kiss in order to not reduce their faces to anatomical data. Theater is editing of limited space. Time remains unmediated, untouched. A medical report, a report on breathing, out of balance, out of steadiness. The actors understand it immediately. The air pressure, search for a steady position. They can barely move. And now I'll read from Lust, from A Motive for Mayhem, my second book, and I'm going to read it backward pages. An eye forms the artificial rose of its agreement. Motors margin words to life. Then think reflection is no substitute. You know, I was strongly attracted at the start of the details of them. Apertures, kiss from behind, every form of design, entirely, but anything I could say now would be anticlimactic. This exaggerated light restructures color. Time reflects the thickness of its details, the imagination in the thickness of static. Hoopla, hoopla, an embedded flame. Sentences attract, they all but dismantle. The noise recognizes its theme. The means reorganizes my attachment. And here we steal the agreement to penetrate a society that defines being by having. But how can this prick frighten people? Their very cussing tasted of painkiller. We get close. We grow tender. We're soft on communism, a sequence of the Westerner, of the ante, of the extra six and sugar dailiness to you, bub. Just clothes pulled together, deposits under the ice, this topology of the future zoomed in on the space of successive lust. We want what is needed, the condition of the parts beneath the sound emitted, the wedding of human actions by people who saw it all. The radioactive sky, motherfucker, just for the hell of it. Now what have we here? These code words that baffle. Ranger, buster, jangle, tumbler, snapper, upshot, knothole, teapot. It stops. Until the day sets in on top of the credenza and the vital oneric voodoo become your nostalgic hypnosis. Butterfly bites the arrogant cliff and dies. What's left is the balance of our outdated eagerness, infatuated, surrounded, ambushed and liturgical, at the core of our genitals, in the foreplay of your rehearsal, burrowing in. A cubism of athletic events and the wished-for end of your clientele, so violated and so crucial, so ascetic and so executed, so inflammable, so liquid, so as to produce delirium dreaming, making nice sitcom. Just grunt. An aberrant synchrony to nascent magnet and the allergy our mind shadow. National deceit offers an analog, accelerating surrogates in the light of history and the tone of what was sold deteriorates. Important matchboxes bugger the table. That causeway smokes to amplify. Battery of waydrills, consequent rosaries, and the mugs of their howls closeted in flame. Bedsprings become the ultimate cookie. Pork chop trees while the words want to jump. We supplicate the necessity to misrepresent sallies, to centipede spirals in humps of flaxy floral nights blooming in settings of gynecological gold, liquid and impulsive. Investitures play imperial excess, stick the assumed recuperation, while banks monitor disconsolate societies, and unconsolidated holiday projections are given experience in reflections, language, attitude. Empire taunt pulls on us, redirecting vortices before original kisses to reconstruct the sky, cinematically useless despite appearance. Thousands of the signal turn immediate lips to a small, blunt world. The infant processes the confidence in its most extreme form hurts. He is kissed, interrupts, kissed, subjected to food and bodies who pay you. A symbolic gesture is intensified. This is plausible, but it happens to be wrong. Through steroids of annihilated fragrance, by counterfeit of my counterpart, Before the fornication of adorable birds, I write. You reflect on this extravagant jeopardy, boistering my Mackinaw, explaining in decibels of sirens so gorgeous I copulate, I am forced to. While evaluating my denial, your sedative penetrates the dildo, alienates the disinfectant, infects the theater, flaws the alliance, and all evaporates. Night sleeps, innumerable, inadequate, and occasionally unnoticed.
It's interesting to see someone in this country and culture flipping backwards through the book while they read rather than...
Well, normal. I read Hebrew, so I'm used to that.
I get,
and Japanese, the same.
Yeah, understood. But yeah, here usually I don't see people. And yeah. So that's... But do you ever try to read like... I mean, what would happen if you read the last line, the second to last line?
I've done that.
You have, yeah.
I've done that. Not with that poem, but with sometimes when I'm writing, just to, I'll go, and I do that with film too. Sometimes I have shot it one way and I'll put it in the order, the reverse.
Right.
Just to open it up to those vortices.
Right. That's cool. And, you know, you could take it even further, like read the last word, second to last, we could read. And some poets, I, you know, like you were saying, well, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. For some poets, I bet it really doesn't make a difference.
Yes.
You know, like experimental.
Well, like Bruce Andrews reading something lately, I think it would be like that, maybe.
Yeah, interesting.
Who else were you thinking of?
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of language school poets, but just the experimental writers, Dada, you know, is
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Dada would work, yeah, yeah.
People who are in that following, in that more indeterminate, line. Do you want to read more? Is that a good time for us?
It's a good time to break, I think, and then I'll start with this one.
I wanted to see if you could tell us more about your drive to write poetry instead of making visual artworks. Does it give you a chance to do something you can't do with media, or it's taking a break from the technology?
First off, I would say books are home for me. Like if I'm traveling, if I'm in a new place, reading a book, I'm content. I'm at home. So being a reader was, you know, early on comfort for me. So that's one thing. But secondly, writing is free. That's a big deal. And writing I can do anywhere. And that's also a big deal. I mean, film is a techno. It's a techno. And it's, you know, I mean, just think in terms of my life. I mean, I started in the 70s with 16 millimeter and celluloid. And to watch the changes, you know, I've shot in half inch. I've shot in, you know, the little digital cassettes. I've shot in Super 8. I've shot in Super Digital, I don't know, there was a super thing for digital, and now digital itself, and now it's 4K, and, you know, it's an endless procedure. I've had to learn in the last couple of years for my new film Premiere, because Final Cut Pro 7, which I'd used for years past when Apple, you know, dropped it and went back, you know, they based it on a new system. I mean, I know people have said it's gotten better, I'm sure it has, but I switched to Premiere, because that's what my school was using at that point. Uh-huh. And that was really hard because I'd gotten quite good with Final Cut Pro 7, but now I can handle the Premiere. But in other words, the technological learning curve is like endless, it seems.
Oh, I know, for sure.
And it's a challenge, let's put it that way. So writing is much more comfortable. And I will say about writing, I do write in notebooks all the time, but I also work on the computer, but I always have to print it out before I finalize things. I feel like printing it out, I can see from beginning to end. I can lay the pages out. I can see where I'm repeating. And on a computer, it's much harder to organize that way for the finale, you know.
Sure. Well, unless you have like 300 pages.
Then you can.
Then it's hard to print things out. I'm starting to print things out from this project, and I'm like, do I really need to do this? And yeah, I really need to do it. You know, sometimes you have to. I understand.
Right,
I feel that.
Isn't it 300 pages with chapters, or no? Or is it one big chapter?
No, it's different sections, right? But still, you know, that's a question. Plus, ink is getting to be more expensive.
True enough.
It's not like, yeah, writing in your notebook is free, but once you start to, you know, have
it's not that bad though. Compared to film, it's nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I can't, you know, shooting film is very expensive right now. So I'm still doing digital.
No doubt. One thing I do want to do, and I do want to put on some more of your soundtracks just to, you know.
Well, do another soundtrack and then we'll go back to reading.
All right, then. Here we go.
The old distribution problem. Too much. Like this, Nick. Yes! I feel like you can see that.
A tribal background is
pushing. Rural. I'm thinking the light.
The going by.
Put it on the street. Committing in groups together.
New York
books.
Botheration.
Psychic. Or even anything. Which is. I think you have to change the form. But it's true. I'm flashing on and in growing.
I'm trying to run me up a creek.
You seen them on field?
Something wrong.
Listen.
The local ghetto hole.
The you can buy it.
You know. Oh. You make it clear.
Shake. Or something like that.
Bad suckers.
You're pushing it.
Running. Get away.
Go back. Almost disastrous. I just go.
You dig?
What is the difference?
Trying to get me hooked.
Learn bits and varnishes. Officers.
Sounds like a hierarchy to me.
Must be a little strange for you to hear the soundtrack without the movie, or
absolutely,
it
is absolutely it's strange. Also, that's a very early film, and the sound is not the best quality, and you know, on Vimeo. I mean, I've actually seen a new film pulled, and the new film just looked gorgeous. You know, that is a difficulty with these tightly edited films. If there are scratches, or it really affects the finale, the way the audience receives it, and so, like for my retrospective at Anthology a couple of years ago, I gave them a lot of my prints because I wanted really new prints. And so it was glorious, you know, just very different than seeing them scratched up from the co-ops where they've been rented a million times.
But
it is hard. It's very hard. I recommend everyone see the film when they get a chance.
on the biggest screen you
yes,
can.
Yes, you can take.
So in that excerpt, we heard as it came up right beforehand, the voice of Hannah Wiener is in there a good bit. Can you talk about your connection with her?
I started writing in the mid 70s and moved to San Francisco, and I was so lucky because I went to Naropa first, and I took my only poetry class ever with Diane DePrima, who was difficult to me because she, not to me specifically, but she would tell everybody, you shouldn't be sending to New Yorker, you should be sending among your friends. And since I was a beginner, I certainly wasn't sending to New Yorker or anything. But it was a great moment because I got to experience Burroughs and Ginsberg and Don Cherry and Contact Improvisation. So it was a great moment for me. I was kind of leaving New York and searching. And I went from there to San Francisco, and somebody I'd met at Naropa, Stanley, moved in with Ron Silliman. And so through Stanley, I met Ron. And it was my moment of really, I'd been writing, reading through the history of poetry, and I had found Zhukovsky in a bookstore, St. Mark's bookstore, and I read his short poems, and I was just like, whoa, I want, not so much I want to do this, but it was the poetry that just excited me enormously. And talking to Ron, meeting Ron, was a great moment. It's like 76, so it's the beginning of a bunch of poets getting together. And there I was making friends with Ron and Carla and Barry and Steve and meeting Robert Duncan. And it was just a great moment for me because I'd been to really good colleges, but I felt that my film community in New York, though dedicated, the intelligence of the San Francisco poets knocked me out. They were really an exciting community, exploring wonderful things with great ideas. And this was way before they were named language group. It was before any of the kind of divisive editorials, if you will. So it was just like experimenting and exploring and finding things. And then I moved back to New York in 1980 and met all the, I had met Charles and Bruce and poets in San Francisco, but when I got to New York, I met Hannah. And Hannah lived near me, and somehow we became close. We did one collaboration at least, more than this one. And so she saw words on the street. Mm-hmm. So here I have this film of street life, and I said, Hannah, come walk with me and I'll record you. So all those comments are coming from her, what she saw on her on the street. Yeah. And then some of the other comments, that there's a weird voice, it's from the Oakland Planetarium. He appears again. So, you know, it's a combo, but it was just wonderful meeting the poets. I felt I was finally with people who excited my intellect.
When you discover that poets aren't just, artists Lyric. And creative people, yeah. but they're brilliant and
researchers. Like one of the other things was meeting Ron. Ron invited me to his theory group. So for me, it was reading Benjamin and Jameson and Sartre, and I had never read them, even though I had a great college degree in graduate school. Graduate school was an art school, really. So that was exciting, too, to get this kind of deep basis of what writing could be.
And then maybe we can turn back to some more poems.
Yeah, more poetry. Let's do that. Yeah, so definitely. I'm going to start. I'll read a couple things, including very recent stuff. But I was the first Fulbright to Russia from SSSR in, 2001. So this is a couple of sequences from a longer poem about that. And I was reading it and I thought, it's still valid today, because really that moment is why Russia is the way it is now. And you'll see the connection between this poem and later stuff that I'll read. Okay, so this is Artificial Memory. Intelligence in Russia is afraid of something, unpronounceable, impossible to turn from, hands on, buying gas pistols for the front. A store in a secure district sells only cowboy boots, belts, shirts, dissident rubric of securities drop-off, mirroring the know-all-about-it variations. Inaccurately, things shelter a person, dwarfed, as it were, by the huge span of water, erased, unbuilt in. This scheme, too, will make mistakes, extend from one of its vortices. Everything thaws, a cycle the silence absorbs, in words economy. 9 by 9 meters for life, how clouds of matter give rise to a system, swimming with statues in claustrophobic, ossified plug becomes paper average. The break is a contract becoming agent. I send you our ordeal. Non-memorialized residual bolt X'd out signs impermanence. We use mystery guests compiling lists of restitution in a cycle of hunt. A second theme arose where apricot and nut appear intermittently controlled until the body dissolved, inframed by things posthumously. How to talk to police, how we're responding. Restart paragraph, making us sick from the smoking. Your yes of resales and acquiescences. Only practice will tell you until stiff dough is formed. And it's tough after a year is packed with cars breakup. The dump hole of my highnesses. Detach the act, unstylized swanking. Slowly, the upper crust visibly rising. More swiftly, a new poor adjusts to marketing war with coordinating price liberalization. Oracular morphemes fold over twice and then resume, or do not have one. Make a hike kit for it, too. I understand thirst has cross-exhalation. A reserve window, like a three-dimensional drawing, rolls from object to subject, to its own advantage demand. Try to catch the feel of the knot, where nothing yet is fused. Only movement practicing some unidentified lightheadedness. Loss hidden by an act that roots. Affection teleologies locked in adolescent hand maps. Language overeaters, a revolt, an instant upturn, perennial flush over which daylight enters. Face the object or direction you want to know about. Unplugged washer in the kitchen, lilacs on Basilisevsky Island, identifying yours and our shoes outside Victor's. Memory frames recognize familiar objects, drives hypostasize and pull taut. Like Gorby's phono dummy in Pushkin Square, it had nothing to do with airplanes or Ferris wheels. More pointed dreams, the center of animation, sky rimmed in blue, party to the future. Unplugged gears in three dimensions, perennial provocation. We all want something, simple, the effect of the real, a future made astronomical. Cost, maps, anthologized sky, rimmed in jokes, reflect remnants dimensions. The real cost of services are small. My shoulders point, represent, as if all shots were mobility frames, and thus not abstract, but deterritorialized.
You've been working with the deterritorialization for a while.
Well, I just mentioned it in our talk because of this. Just thought it was a way to think about words that sometimes, like, oh, what is she meaning? They're just out in space. But I agree with the poem. You know, words have like a vortex around them. They're horizontal and vertical, and I like all that multiplicity. In fact, I went to become a filmmaker because of multiplicity, because I said it can deal with language, image, sound, music, geography, ethnicity, ethnography. So it's multiplicity that attracted me in the first place. Not the easiest thing to play with, but what fun.
Right.
Okay. So I'll read three more, and then I'll, two more, and then end with one longer piece. Crosshairs, right whipped construct, sound of permission cream. I'm stuck metal on my Hornita, rust a new grill on retina, systematic intuition cement, genital flap doodle, discs ma'am as disidentification, text in warm up resistance, mambo morphing, can it, as hum meter. Cover, construct, resist is the lost word, is inside out. Give me object pause. Give me sound of spin in bio nipple hottie. Give me blog on honey, eating out a bunny. Give me anxious, my inner high heels. Describe careening, chatty crotches. Sting is inside surface, handy interior decorating Scheherazade. Undeflected by bumper sticker nipple. The night encloses open transport. Does size matter? Constituting capacity sticker? Encloses open to transport pleasure. As it is, dangling its honey riff, vernacular effective layers, sort of matter requires semi-organized drifts, technically trapped caresses shift. It's mind.com, body.org, backspace.edu, airworld.net, mimicking corporate e-toys with evil figures link, virtual art and cookies as a screen, making surveillance a prototype, a euphemistic dating service to unfold an international traffic remaining no less appropriatable. Poetic terrorism cannot be visible, is useless, a source of life about the global inevitable. Branding techniques are gated soft drugs. Cop crotches are Monsanto recoding natural products as copyrighted material. We're only a few seconds ahead of enveloping machines. Every formal attitude can be co-opted. So can content, so that cultural strategies need to be flexible. The academic cells look anemic. Migrant regions picket heroic essentialism. As early as 1792, documents interned in the photographs attest to error. The prices have never looked back. Product becomes place, becomes promotion. New ways to say yes. Updated individual is a perpetual marketing event. When I hear avant-garde, I reach for my brand name. Country-wise, indicators of corporate control remit, while cartoons soothe the links of the least worst syndrome. Civilian landmarks read it as repro, disguised as a person. The corporate death penalty will work. Please come to be sociable. What can be said is everything. What is unbearable is content.
Content or content?
Content.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, but it...
Yeah,
you were
yeah.
just talking about the words with, you know, language.
With meanings, yeah, yeah, of course. And in fact, I realized as I was reading that, that it was like the words could be read backwards in that case, I think.
As long as it sounds good.
As long as sound is the key, sound yeah. and rhythm.
That's right. Yeah.
So this is Spellbound, and this was written during COVID, even though it doesn't have that much to do with COVID. It has more to do with the politics. How the flat world century reassembles itself. Almost ensorcelled, glowing jewel tones would be illuminated species, and our world reflects that. Within the kaleidoscope of triumph we peer into, hypnotized enmity floats by, and memes stream seemingly infinite possibility, while stars remain paper thin. And consciousness is torched illusion neurons of memory leadership in so-called mesmerization reality. Meanwhile, TV screen actors hijack as mass media statesmen, a flat world billionaire who made it. More pretending, too soon to be over? Is this then the hopeful hope? That sweet would mingle crystal with our vibrating American piano stars, that the daughters in the stadium, family in the palace, across the echoing white voice with a thorax house that slaves' resonance built, could sustain a layered world? That palpable and working class aches upon flat Zoom layer are trapped in like of as, or could be bound into a multi-layered nation? Now, not splintered but forged. Now, not broken but spelled. Now, not newborn but reassembled. Born in death, deepest thought dream. Our hopes afoot, extent unended. And this is called These Days. And I was working with the New York Times and its different sections. And playing with that in my own notebooks. In full-on, let's talk about the issues mode. There are seven dimensions, including mute hashtags, keyword clients, and over-optimized emoticons. It's a synod for ecosystems jamming the interface to come up as self-directed. The advice nurse is available when doors are closed. We keep coming back to native clients and removing timelines from your tweets. Is it a forever or is it not? Maybe the long-term options are less and less viable. Maybe the discovery of all those updates is a stress ball squeeze. Maybe the banal birthday wishes keep removing your tweets from your timeline. Maybe there are no ball deflators. Maybe no forms of abuse or indecipherable commentary. Just think where you'd weigh your stress if you could filter spoilers. Health is a fickle deity nonetheless. He's the Pied Piper of dogs, adroitly merchandising his perceived warmth, zealously trotting onto a makeshift red carpet with an extra tight leash. He makes the most of his yoga-toned curves, vetting the interlopes in a scarlet scorcher of a truck. He is us. Apotheosis, ballyhooed in the tour de force of pull. Likewise, his daughter plays a genial hooker with a winsome handle. She turns up on her fans' mini-screens as madcap, do-it-all, and not least like a good old gal just kicking back at home. It's a contact neighborhood, and the only color is on the pool table, strangely red, to resemble the blood of those who can't get in the door. The side entrance is for the below-market units. It's a folksy whatever, line lump, wall wart, allegedly stonewalling an operation known as Fast and Furious. They take their share of any heat. It's a theme she's not yet mastered, asking, leaning over the user agreement, what do you think? They plan to a point, then jump. Fire the talent, loot the archaeological sites. Their involvement is financial. Suited, they trash the corporate elite and lose to those rigorous ledgers. Hardly Powerpuff, they're steely media hogs, surviving the present participle, walking backwards, loading, unpacking, packing, unpacking. She suspects an illusion. Beside the victims were ruins, an unfair city discharging gorged patriots, seeking the confiscation of pauses. In the undying disidentification of trauma. Push time adjusts space, and space disappears, pivots in narcissistic appropriation. They panic, try to resist, while we, sleeping, enjoy the cheapest travel. What fills your mouth with pronouns, trying to locate missing bundle identifiers and stranger bodies? She can't figure it out and falls, alive to special effects. You charge for misinformation and rewrite consequence on borrowed tablets. 10 selfies taken moments before death. In institutionalizing the system, the latest iteration of which comes in the form of resistance, the long unmarginalized American teases their memory. At the periphery of the province, they find a two-bed maisonette. Nearby, skinny skyscrapers slip up against the sea. The concept is landscape without nationality. A gaggle of nonconformist designs sidelined. His palette is limited, landmark gray or black mineral. It smears everything, a kind of sprinkle down. You can sterilize this, and the boss says, yeah, lie down. But what many miss is how crucial an abstract concept, trust, is to everything hijacked by think tanks and cool animation soldiers. The fast-forward version of the process of collapse and buildup goes out of control. It's an Empire State dog making these businesses work. Can I get a witness? Rising to meet a version of 311 who asks to be sociable and wants your number. In the 995, history halftones blaze among hunkered inversions of don't you want to? The edges of cities are hunted lands. Street level is theme-centered. Utopia is over. Bored cars remain trapped behind Target shopping baskets. Rapid numbers disappear in the gospel of peanut solutions. In a sharing economy, this is called diversification. ISIS-controlled areas lie at the periphery, where intervallic dreams end performance, are unstable, allied to exploitation, exile, and colonialism. She thanks the crowd for protective clothing. The latest iteration of which comes in the form of smartphone apps. It began to be clear. The multitude is left to its own devices. Oblivious to message units and situationally untotalized testimonials, we hack techno. That connects people who want somewhere to stay or ride with people willing to provide it, bringing libertarian and contrarian homebrews halfway around the world. For those of us in the power centers, all theory is white noise. Literal haptic mapped onto clunky, where dawn rises against a milky swath, masquerading as completion without words, recontextualizing vertigo displacement. We swerve. I'm assuming flirtation default mode. That they like their cells while they reiterate a sight on your body of emotion, investing flesh with fluids, heart with stomp. Death loses its head. Adults must readapt themselves, no matter what genealogy of CEOs leave us to our ponyism. reasoning car grill pixels. Let it trot. Let the gods stay with the gods. The war machine is on.
I should have said several times in the last hour that you're listening to Abigail Child here on Poet Radio, but you have been listening to Abigail Child on Poet Radio, reading a great variety of styles and topically.
And a span across the years, actually. I thought to introduce some work rather than just stay in the present.
Right. No, it's
this group of people.
Great to hear it. And for those of you who haven't seen Abigail's films, hopefully the show gives you an opportunity or inspires you to go find them. And I know some of them, there are some publicly available.
There's some on Penn Sound, actually. There's three on Penn Sound.
Oh, okay, great.
That are in pretty good quality. But watch them big and loud.
Yes. That's always, I always hear Abby saying, find the biggest screen you can.
Absolutely.
We'll have to have you back to read more sometime, Abby. It feels like we just got going.
Yeah,
but we can do that. And, I don't know if there are events or anything coming up that you should let people know about.
I'm doing something at Yale in November, but that's it for the public right now.
Right.
I just did something in New York Tuesday.
It's so great to have you on the program. And I'm glad we're neighbors, basically.
Perfect.
Get to see
And thank you, Chris, for this opportunity.
You're really great.
You're
welcome. Stay tuned, the rest of you there. This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Radio for open ears.